Thank you so much. It's a really nice lineup of speakers here. I'm glad they saved the best for last, except for my presentation first, but that's great. So I want to talk about the commercial feasibility of monochromatic light treatments in controlled environments, in this case greenhouse, for manipulating plant morphology and yield. So just a little bit about LumaGrow again. Not everybody knows us yet, which is tough, but marketing wouldn't be happy. But we have a four-person research department, and we really focus on partnership-based research. So what I was working on when I first came on at LumaGrow was kind of bridging the gap between growers and researchers. There's a lot of good research out there, and lighting is a really difficult topic for growers to for them to understand. People still talk in terms of lux and lumens, and you know, it breaks my heart every time. So I know that we kind of need to hold their hands through, you know, even really difficult spectral lighting experiments. So I came on to try and, you know, kind of recreate these experiments in their greenhouses. And so I talked about the challenges we have with that last year, but we do our best to, you know, bring the research directly to the growers, you know, through grower visits, and then you know, the actual research itself in the you know, light management and controlled environments, and then even better than that is, you know, bringing the researchers themselves into the crops. So this is Roberto Lopez visiting one of our cucumber growers in Canada. He got a good kick out of, you know, kind of the people that we're working with. So we have a partnership with Cabrillo College. You may have heard of Melanie or myself talking about that a fair bit. So in November of last year, I moved down to Cabrillo. Just outside of Santa Cruz, where it's a community college that's based on training the next generation of growers in practical techniques. So they're not doing any actual research themselves, but they're teaching them the newest technologies, the newest ways to grow on, you know, all different methods of hydroponic methods. And they have a new ag tech program that focuses on teaching these established technologies. So we're not creating new technologies, but we're using established things, let's say like LumaGrow lighting or different greenhouse control systems or hydroponic growing systems. So it's a busy, beautiful place. This is during the plant sale that they use to kind of fund a lot of their work there and their growing spaces. And just the range of the suite of hydroponic systems. They've got aquaponics, NFT channels, deep water culture, high wire tomatoes, high wire cucumbers, you know, all in a small growing area. And I'm lucky enough to have my own research greenhouse. This is our, you know, main collaboration where I take care of everything. You know, I'm mixing the fertilizer, I'm checking the plants every day. But that really gives us the opportunity to look at things that they necessarily wouldn't look at with the students. So I'll talk about my first set of experiments that I worked on there over the winter. So monochromatic lighting treatments, you know, we first looked at monochromatic light, whether it's red light or blue light alone, on plant growth, you know, way back in the, you know, 80s and 90s when the first monochromatic LEDs were coming out. And the original presumption that it was impractical. You got these long leggy plants, or maybe the plant didn't complete its full growth cycle, you know, without blue, or you could optimize production by having different spectrum of light combined. But in recent years, we've been revisiting monochromatic light and seeing if we can use those strange growth, those morphological characteristics to the benefit. The one I want to focus on is Otake and Goto in the Hort Science of 2018. They looked at the effect of alternating red and blue to try to expand leaf canopy and therefore increase photon capture. So what they saw was alternating spectrums of red and blue throughout a 24-hour photo period actually produced a greater fresh weight than 24 hours of red and blue delivered throughout the photo period. Same DLI, same photo period, but they saw increased growth. So that was interesting. You know, again, the question is, you know, what happens if the grower reads this and tries to recreate this? What are they going to see? So I was lucky enough to look at this in the greenhouse, where I kind of recreated the settings. I changed them a little bit where, so we have 100 micromoles of red during the day, and then drop down to 25 micromoles of blue at night. And then we matched the intensity and the photo period with a kind of what we called a control spectrum, which was a mix red, white, and blue. 100 micromoles during the day for 12 hours, and then 25 micromoles at night for 12 hours. And again, delivered in a greenhouse, so we were able to see, you know, what's the effect of background sunlight. So every day at 7 or 6 before the time change in the spring, we had a high light treatment during the day and then the low light treatment at night. So that equates to a supplemental DLI of around 5.4 moles per day. They were on same intensity every day, 24 hours from transplant to harvest. And the red, white, and blue spectrum was approximately 18% blue, 6.5% green, and 75% red. And those that green comes from white diodes from the Lumigrow fixtures. And then I had a 50% shade cloth that turned into about a 75-80% reduction in transmission in the greenhouse. So we had even in sunny California, we had about an ambient DLI of 3.5 and 4.5 moles per day in the two replications. And so here's just a quick look of what it looked like in the greenhouse every day if you were lucky to be there at 7:30 at night. So it would switch from red to blue. We've got those guard rows in between, and a lot of the space on the outside is not being used because the light is all over the place in there. So I did two replications, again, 50% external shade, air temperature set point of 23, which was nice and consistent in California in the winter, and ambient CO2. And it was about, we did two harvests, one right around when canopy closed to see if there was any effect before they started competing against each other, and then a harvest at marketable yield as defined by Cabrillo College. So we looked at two cultivars, Cherokee, which is a red leaf, and Rex, which is a green butterhead. And we had 144 plants on a 6-foot by 10-foot NFT system on each bench, and which equates to around 25 plants per square meter after transplant. And then they were randomly harvested, but in equal spots on either bench to eliminate the lack of competition, I guess, when one hole is empty. The lack of competition of the plants growing into that space was equal under either lighting treatment. So looking at the fresh weight, this is again 47 days after seeding, we saw no differences, neither in Cherokee nor the Rex, nor at first harvest nor second harvest. And then also looking at dry weight, also no differences. So it was a little depressing not to see any differences. So we looked into surface area. And we did this estimate using an image software called ImageJ. So for each plant, I would take an overhead photo with the ruler there that would be, you would equate the millimeter length to pixels. And we could, using a photo, sending it through the software, it would count those pixels and assign each pixel a square, we could equate that to a square centimeter. So it's a little less labor-intensive way of doing a leaf area measurement, and we also don't have a Lycor leaf area measurement equipment at Cabrillo, so this was kind of a stopgap way of doing it. But we saw no differences in surface area in any of the treatments. Here's Cherokee, for example. So alternating monochromatic red and blue light did not result in increased fresh weight or dry weight compared to the control, what we saw in Otake and Goto's, or what they saw in Otake and Goto's paper. So I looked in for a few reasons for this. So why the departure from the growth chamber studies? So, I mean, simplest explanation, the effect of ambient light in the greenhouse environment. I've seen time and time again, including my own master's research, lots of different papers looking at, you know, trying to increase seedling compactness using increased blue light. The effect of ambient light, the ambient DLI, has a strong effect on losing those differences in spectral treatments when you move to the greenhouse. But both ambient DLIs were very, very low, artificially low, 3.5 in the first rep and 4.5 in the second rep. Generally, we've seen kind of when you get to DLIs above 7 or 8, or when you have the DLI being less than half of the total light applied to the plant, we kind of lose those spectral differences. But in this case, you know, 3.5 ambient DLI and 5.5 supplemental DLI, I can't directly attribute it to this, but it's, you know, still the leading theory. So there were some differences in light spectrum and intensity between the experiments. So we had the inclusion of white in the greenhouse. It was a very small amount of green light, but there is a chance that that may have caused some differences into what Otake and Goto saw. Also differently was we had a 25 micromole overnight light intensity. So the two lighting treatments from the Otake and Goto paper looked at a drop down to 40 micromoles at night. So 40 micromoles of blue is not very different from 25, but it's possible that, one, the blue light we had was not enough to stimulate that leaf expansion that we see sometimes under 100% blue, Or it could have been an effect of just a low light intensity, either at or below the light compensation point. But the other thing, too, was in the Otake and Goto paper, in the 24-hour photo period, they had a constant 80 micromoles throughout the photo period, where I had that drop down. But they did in the first, they had a set of preliminary experiments where they did look at a red and blue with a drop down. Again, that was the 40 and not 25, but they didn't see increased yield as compared to the alternating red and blue. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more in-depth explanation into the experiment one treatments in this Otake and Goto paper, because it could have pointed the direction of where we were going wrong in my experiment. But it leaves me things to look at for the next experiment. So looking at next steps, do we go and we try to deliver that consistent PPF over the 24-hour photo period? Originally, I kind of made a mistake, and I'm not sure why I delivered that step down, but I really wanted to look and see, you know, what's the effect? I want to match those PPFs throughout the photo period. That way I'm only having one variable, and that's that light intensity, or that light spectrum instead of intensity. So I think during the next experiment, and it's a little bit more commercially relevant, you know, delivering that consistent but low PPFD over a 24-hour photo period. Now, another thing I'm curious too is alternating a red, white, and blue mix and 100% blue on the 12-12-hour cycle as opposed to 100% red. Delivering a red, white, and blue mix allows us to deliver more light intensity. For the Lumigrow fixture specifically, if you want to deliver 100% red or 100% blue, you have to not deliver power to those other diodes, so that kind of limits you with light intensity. And that's the reason I was limited to the 25 micromoles in the blue treatment. With the percentage of blue diodes we have on the Lumigrow fixtures, it kind of limits us in the amount of blue we can deliver monochromatically. For better or worse, we've seen approximately it's a good amount for a commercial light in a greenhouse, it's a good amount of blue light, but when you're really trying to manipulate these monochromatic blue light effects, it's probably not enough, or it might not be enough. We still need to look into it further. But, you know, if we do see that happening, you know, we can use that to inform product development in the future. So we'll need to work on it a lot more, and probably on a much more technical or precise scale at a university. And the other option I can do is, this is more just for your curiosity, if we were to move this to a grower, is apply a different spectra after that canopy closure. Once canopy closure happens, we really don't want those leaves to expand anymore. Those plants are already competing against each other. The far red shading effect is going to cause them to stretch, and at that point, we don't really need them to stretch anymore. So that'll be my next winter. I just want to really thank Eli Weissman. He's our research associate. He kind of really dug deep into that image analysis. We've got a tutorial if anybody's interested, you know, either sharing it with students or even for your own research, looking into doing that, because we can also do color analysis. And then obviously the Cabrillo Horticulture staff who kind of helped me learn how to use the greenhouse. And with that, I'd love to answer your questions. So. Yes, Shuming.
Frank, you mean you do not see any difference, you know, in the production. You think it is at least 24-hour light intensity. Are there still any benefit to use it?
I think it has a great benefit. We've seen time and time again that delivering a lower intensity but a longer photo period with equal DLI increases production. Not necessarily increases production, but we see that it definitely doesn't decrease production in lettuce specifically. Now, tomatoes is a different story, but we can go through some things to address that. But generally, a 24-hour photo period I've seen in lettuce with the cultivars I use was terrific. Yes, Neil.
I'd be curious if kind of the opposite approach where you had a lower light intensity during the day when you have some sunlight and then higher intensity at night, maybe you would have seen some yield benefit from that.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a brilliant question. For the people on the recording, I should have repeated the first question. But the question was maybe use a lower light intensity during the day and the 100 micromoles at night. I really wanted to use that blue light at night. And again, we were limited to the 25 micromoles. But it's, you know, maybe look at red light at night or, you know, really stack those lights together to try to get to that blue 100 micromoles. But, yeah.